talking to the phone. Hey guys, you're Front Row with Jackie Rowe, and it's Sunday. And I want to say that, oh my God, over the weekend, I watched this documentary on Dick Gregory. And I never knew so much information that flew through that documentary about Dick Gregory. It was amazing. First of all, I never knew Dick Gregory was a comedian. Second of all, I see where a lot of things kind of like got its start from. It came from Dick Gregory. I'm saying, like, even his the way he did his comedian thing, of course, you know, Dave Chappelle had to come on and talk about it. But we'll get into that later. But I just had to put that out there because early this morning, I want to come on and talk about Dick Gregory because I have such a new found love and respect for this man. Like, we need to know more about our Black historical people that have paved the way. But again, I will go into that later because I have a special guest on the phone that's waiting to just conversate with us because we were talking. So I said, you know what, let me just do my podcast one time and just, you know, give it its due to my cousin still, which is a month now since he passed away born. Hey, Kat, say what's up to my audience.
What's up, guys?
So, Kat, you know, we were just talking. First, me and you was talking about books because you was asking me about, you know, my reading. I said, yeah, I read a book a day. I want to go back to read at least 3 or 4 books a day. You know, I kind of speed read, you know what I mean? So, like, if it's a lot of times I just read a book, I just kind of read through the paragraphs and I get the gist of it. And, you know what I'm saying? I kind of, like, master the book. And you were sharing that you stopped reading a little bit, you know, like, you don't read that much as you used to. And I was like, well, this is the perfect time. But first, like, you know, introduce yourself and let people know who you are, you know, as far as, oh, my God, people want to beep in now. This is my good friend. Like I said, we go way back. You know, we are real close with Bourne. Kat is a story. Kat has evolved so much. It's just as funny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we come from the shadows, even in the daytime, we come from the shadows of Brooklyn,
yeah.
From Jamaica to Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're the people that you see in the shadows. When, you know, when you look in the dark and you can't see what you know, so we're there, that's who we are.
Exactly.
That's where I came from.
We move in silence.
Yeah, correct.
Well, some of the real people that move in silence.
Correct.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, because you know.
Even into an interview, I'm mad nervous, God. You know, when you grow a certain way, speaking about certain things,
mm-hmm.
it's something that we just never grow doing.
Exactly, right.
So I have to be watching my words and stuff like that.
Yeah, now you remind me of Bourne because Bourne used to be like, cuz, yo, Samantha, watch your mouth say. I said, no, just flow. It's just a conversation, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you are definitely one of the peoples that were very close to Bourne. I know that you guys, you know, spoke. I spoke to his family like 2 days ago and I was, you know, they were saying they still working on getting his body up here. And then I went with his mother and his sister to look at a couple places like 2 weeks ago, and you know, I just feel like it's a lot. You know, they was trying to do a 9-night, and I was like, you know, let the 9-night chill for a minute, because it's a lot to now. It's like a lot of money to bring his body up, you know. And it's funny because I could hear him saying, "Star, boy, I'm dead on there. I couldn't even get $2, but you know, it cost 10 grand to get me up here." You know, it's some funny shit like that, which is funny. You know what I mean? It's crazy that. You know, you're gone and you're dead for dead, and that's that. And you know, still is a hassle with money to make sure you go out right. Life is crazy, but he's definitely worth every penny of everything, you know, that he deserved, because he's definitely legendary.
Correct.
And he will be missed, and he's gonna stay alive as long as I can stay alive with me bringing air to him and speaking about him and sharing stories about him and others, you know, because I really wanted to, before this happened with Bourne, I really wanted to kind of gauge my podcast a little differently and talk about some of the street life stuff, because that's how I started it. But originally I started talking about my health and about different things and da 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 da, and then, you know, I just went with the flow. So it's still kind of like giving a lifestyle of general things that people don't really talk about. I'm quite sure everybody's talking now because the whole world has a show and everybody's doing everything. So it's just each and everyone's separate lifestyle of views of what they see that, you know, want to share in the world. But tell me a little bit about you and, you know, some stories. I know you don't like to talk, but, you know, it's your platform right now to just talk about Bon, the great guilty.
You know, it's funny. I spoke to Bon up until 4:30, 4:31 that same day.
Wow.
Because, you know, every day, man, either send voice notes or call me. You know, we send WhatsApp every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if I make you hear some of the WhatsApp, you die.
Yeah, I wish you had another phone where you could play some of it, because that's what I like to do. If you had another phone, you could just play some of his jokes, because trust me, he jokify like crazy, man. I miss his laughing, his craziness.
Yeah, because even so funny. I remember, like, this COVID shit is real, because, yo, I just remember one day, he gets up and say, yo, I feel sick.
Mm.
And then he put up on his status that he feels sick.
So I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it was on his status. So, even when I spoke to him 2 days after, he was like, yo, he can't really breathe. He can't really breathe and shit like that. And then the same day, when I called him, he couldn't really talk. He couldn't really breathe. So, he made him text him back and forth. So, mm-hmm. I was asking him if he's sure, if he knows COVID or not. And he was saying, he don't know. He don't really have no flu symptoms, or he had flu symptoms, but he's not really sure.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, me and him talk up and me and him text back and forth until 4:30, 4:31, 4:32.
But someone was saying, not to cut you, someone was saying that he was out in the rain before that. Because, you know, he only have one... he had one, because remember he had got shot up years ago in a jail.
Yeah, he got shot in Rikers, right?
Right, so he only had like...
I still met him for that Rikers shit, man, because you're a bunch of going to get raped, bunch of people. I'm going to put love, you know, Bon, that's a problem.
You know, I was on the phone with him during that time where he did that craziness, right? I did so much time with him on the phone, C-74, Jesus Christ. Yo, I did so much time with Bon on the phone. It ain't funny. It was always a joke. You're like, cuz, yeah, you hear me? Yo, I'm like, Bon, calm down. No, man, I tell you, man, them people are going to pee at me and stop. Yo, when these motherfucking pussy, I was like, Bon, stop. Yeah. Yo, there was never a dull conversation with him. But
you know, when he's in Rikers, is a youth inside there. A youth with him named Bon was protecting too.
Mm-hmm.
When he even got shot at that time.
Right. Yep. You're so right. Yep, you're so right.
Kind of name, but yeah, mm-hmm. There was a kid up there that he was protecting and shit.
Mm-hmm.
A yard you. But anyway, it's crazy. When he got shot, Bon would have a nice amount of change, but Bon can't keep himself still for a minute, man. Bon is just wild. You know what Bon is.
Yeah, it seemed like he got a little tamed this time since he was in Jamaica. Like I said, we had very intimate conversations about different things, and he was more calmer. It would be joke stories, because I think he really liked the fact that, you know, I would just listen to him. You know what I mean? He would call, and I would just listen to him. And I said, Bon, you know, you playing yourself. And he's like, cuz, you remember when we did it upon the island? The thing was C-74 or HDMI. I said, Bon, I remember every crazy thing your ass ever did, from even when we was like 14, 13 years old. I said, you remember when you did this? You remember? He said, yo, you remember that? Because I said, of course I remember that. You understand me? So
yeah.
It's just like, he just...
Bon, this a wild man. I remember a couple years ago when we was in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And Bon, inside of some people's manor, always like, you know, they're gambling shit.
Yeah.
They're gambling. But the boy them know, the big boy them, the alphabet boy them, the feds came here looking for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bon them all the way up on the third or the fourth floor. So the gambling thing, he would tell you, I don't play the gambling thing. Certain places I don't really go.
Right.
But anyway, when they come through when they came through the door now, everybody start running away or whatever, so Bon took the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
But when Bon jumped on the balcony, I guess he lost, because one of the feds was on the floor. So
right.
Bon jumped. He said the way Bon jumped, no, I guess he hit his side, so he lost balance, so he fell all the way down on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Born drop on his head and shit, and born knock out, like kind of unconscious with Kabir.
Right.
So, yeah, I went to the hospital. I never know they were guarding him.
Mm-hmm.
I never know exactly that he was blocked. So, you know, I'm going to take my beer mother, and me and her went to the hospital. When I look at all these damn white boys, the bald head, they have him guarding, asking me, yo, them ask me, yo, who's cat? But when I look in the room, I see that on, I guess the damage he had, they had him sitting up in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
They could have had him lined up, so his head was bandaged up and he's sitting in a chair. And the nurse and the feds said, he keeps saying, cat, 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 nigga, unconscious. So, yo, one of the boys them start, like they approached him, like, who's cat? So I said, I don't know who cat is. So, same time, I put my baby mother hand, and I like, you know, we're trying to walk for them. They walking upon us, and yo, I just see the elevator, went through the elevator and shit. But
Bond, unconscious,
and she called
him
by name. Yo,
I'm crazy, yo. I tell you.
Bond is a wild ass nigga, man.
He just used to just be on 100, and it wasn't fake. It was just so real. Like he just was a daredevil. He didn't care, but he'll check everything in a minute. One thing he didn't like was bullshit. He did not like a lot of bullshit. Like, you know, Bourne was so many places I never knew until, I'm telling you, this trip since he got deployed again, this time in Jamaica. Yeah. Bourne was telling me some stories. He said, yo, Jack, you know, so I was in L.A. when this and that went right. And I was right here when this and that went down and that and that.
Right,
he
right.
could tell, yo, he could tell me everything. But it's to show you he was never a clout chater or, you know, or dick rider. He was places that he never knew that he was there. You know what I'm saying? He just moved so efficient, man. So like a soldier for real, like militant. And I said, you was there, boy, you ain't say. He said, no, mama, just go out and watch the ride.
Yeah.
He said, nah, man, I'm just checking shit out. But he always talk about Lou, too, man. He love him some Lou Hawks.
Yeah,
I haven't talked to him
since. Always talk about him.
Yeah, you know, he was so happy that he came home. You know, he was like, yo, when he was the first one to tell me when he came home, like 3 o'clock in the morning, he washed up me and told me that he was coming home. And I was like, yo, that's what's up. But we have stories for days. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm so happy, you know, that he grew to a certain mentality level where he was just at peace with certain things, because to get him to sit and to talk and just have somebody listen to him, I would just be like, boy, you got to do a book. He said, yeah, man, I'm going to do a book. And I was like, he said, man, just go on. And he said, you have to tape every Sunday. He'd be like, because the first time I had put him on the podcast, he got the highest downloads on my podcast. The highest.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I guess it went everywhere viral and people was telling him stuff. One or two people were saying stuff to him. And I think one person that must have said something. He said, stop, cuz me not even care, man. I don't know who it was. He said, them can go, you know, whatever. He said, yo, cuz, next week, every Sunday start. You ready, cuz? You have the podcast on? He was ready. When I tell you, cat, no bullshit.
Yeah.
I have so much unpublished stuff. You know what I mean? But it's just so much content, so much shit that he's saying, that I just be having to like listen to it a little bit before I even like put it out there, you know? But he shared a lot.
He's one of those unforgettable people.
Oh,
when,
my
wherever
God.
Wherever Bond go, you know he's there. His personality is like that.
Yes.
You know, yeah,
100%. 100%. Didn't you remember another time that he did anything that was standout? I know you have stories for Dave, but just another one that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because... You bleep out, bleep. You know how they just go around and bleep. You know, but I mean, if you don't, then that's cool too. I just wanted to really just, you know, have
that.
Kid.
That kid, you want the boy to come ring my doorbell?
No. Well, they can't do anything now because the statute of limitation. They can't do anything. I mean, these are stories. These are real stories. Everybody up here talking all of this fabricated, fake bullshit. Like, we got real stories. Like, it's real stuff that happened and passed and can't really be, you know, taken into any, you know, kind of like justice for nothing, because it's over and done with. And plus, Bourne is, you know, he's resting now. So, hey. That was a long time ago. But anyway.
Very.
When he like you, when he like you, he likes you. He don't care what nobody have to say about you. Yeah. He gonna show you the real good in you. You know what I mean? Because it's a couple people, I ain't gonna call no names neither, that people be shitting on and saying that they snitches and they got paperwork and shit. He be defending people that he know for real, because he said if he ain't never saw the paperwork, there wasn't no paperwork. And he said, I've been doing time since I was 15 years old. And I know. Yeah, he said, yeah, exactly. He said, if ain't shit never came through my table, now I never sit in my hands, that person is not an informant.
Even one of the people you're speaking about on always talking, say, yo, do it ain't no snitch, and there's no paperwork can do it.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But people have the shit out there on radio type of shit. Just people just like to talk sometimes.
Tell me about it. Yo, yesterday, I can't even call this person name. This person at me 10 times yesterday with some mix-up with some things. What they was, yo, some things I'd be like, yo, come on, man. Don't involve me in that. Because first of all, you know what I'm saying? That's you and other people's. Like, if I wasn't there, don't co-sign me and shit. Because if I'm not there, I'm not speaking up for nobody. You dig what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what somebody else heard say, he say, she say. I can't vouch for that. If I wasn't there, I can't tell you nothing that I wasn't there about. You dig what I'm saying? I'm not going to tell you off of nobody's hearsay. But people, them good though. But tell the people what you're doing now. You know what I'm saying? And how to get in touch with you if you would like. Because I'm so proud of your growth. I know you're doing your, fixing credit. And that's
I'm in the credit field now. I'm fixing credit, doing credit, helping people.
Credit repairs.
Educating them on credit and then repairing their credit at the same time. Because a lot of people don't know the importance of credit.
Yeah, they know now.
No, they don't know the importance. Like, credit can change your zip code. It's so much. If you were born a millionaire, you need to always have good credit.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a lot of people contact me all the time when they're looking to purchase a home or looking to rent, and then they want their credit to be fixed overnight. credit is something, it's like a spare tire. Your credit always have to be in point, and for whenever you need to use it, you could use it.
Credit is not a spare point. I stand to correct that. Credit is the driver. Credit is everything.
Yes, correct.
You don't have to have anything but great credit in America, in the United States of America. Correct. You don't need money. You just need to know how to show people that you can pay your bill on time and also pay more money on time. Never missing a payment. Yes, exactly. Show the lenders that they can lend you money and you are a person that's reliable to pay it back. Once you establish that and you build that platform, you're good to go. Then anybody's going to want to give you money because they see that you're trustworthy and you pay your bills on time and they know that they get their money back with a little interest. So that's how important credit is. Credit is not money. You don't need liquid. You just need asset. You know what I mean? So it's very, very important to have that. But
And a lot of people live in paycheck to paycheck with bad credit, and that's the worst. You better live paycheck to paycheck, as you said, with credit, and you could keep you get by better.
Right. They like to see that you know how to, situate your payments, because that shows that you're responsible. If you're responsible, then they know that they can trust you because you're reliable. You know what I mean?
Correct.
So that's the important things of having.
Right, because even right now, I'm getting into the car rental business on Toro, and trust me, it's my credit I'm about to use right now to buy a few cars.
Oh, you're getting into that? Oh, wow!
Yeah. It's something I've been looking into. I'm trying to have multiple streams of income. Mm-hmm. So I've been studying it and looking into it for the last few weeks, and my credit is 8 and change. Mm-hmm. So this guy was showing me how to use my credit to get a few cars, at least 30 cars.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to know a little bit about that too.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
And so when you get the cars done, you're gonna use them just like a rental. You're gonna be like a rental office to rent the cars.
Yeah. I'm going to go to that platform, Toro. That's the platform I'm signed up on.
Toro.
Yeah, that's what everybody's doing right now.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, I guess it's something you got to put. It's a business.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
a business. You got to get in and structure yourself properly.
Okay.
Yeah, like anything else.
That's different, though. That's different. You know what I saw yesterday? You know, I'm a big DUI person. Like, I don't know why I'm not putting out those things about me on social media, but right. I've been into the DUI for like 30. I love interior decorating. I love it.
Right.
And yeah. I watch every show from when they begin to when right. they change to all the new ones, you know. And I'm very versatile. I love country style, interior decorating stuff. I just like
yeah.
anything that's minimal and clean and classy and nature wise. Like, as far as when I say nature, like, you know, earth tone stuff, you know, not fake flowers. I like real flowers, you know, like I'm very detailed. But yesterday I saw something that I said, wow, I didn't think of that, because actually I was into bridges. I've just got introduced into buying bridges. You know what I mean? Like, I just got into that type of hustle. Because there's a lot
into
of...
buying bridges? What do you mean?
The bridge. You know, like, old bridges in different countries and stuff like that. Right. Different places. Like, they have bridges in different, like, you know... like, say, down south, they might have a bridge somewhere that broke down. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That, you know,
right.
it don't cost nothing but, like, $20,000, $30,000 to fix it up. And then every time somebody go over it, you get paid. Yes, so I was just introduced to that different thing. So I'm looking at different things as I can't. I'm just a person that everybody since like 10 years ago, like, Jackie, why are you not selling eyelashes? Why are you not selling hair? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? I'm like, I'm not doing, or it's too oversaturated, first of all.
Correct.
You know what I mean? It's like, I'm a great cooker. I know how to dress. Everybody's like, why are you not a designer? Why are you not doing this? I mean, listen, I am a Jill of a lot of trades, but I have to do what I like to do. And then I'm a type of woman that I like to be on my own highway. You understand me?
Right.
I don't like to be on a, you know, a highway where there's a whole bunch of, you know, 20 people. I got to be waiting for the car to move. Nah, I like to spurt. So
yeah,
if I'm
correct.
Not, if I can't be on the highway, I need to be on my own service lane, because I need to be able to move. And
like
so,
that, yeah.
yeah, I'm very funny like that. So I can't be like a follower of people doing a lot of things.
Right.
I'm happy for them. You know what I'm saying? I'm proud of them. I'm just like, sometimes I look at the pros and the cons of what, you know, COVID has brought. It has brought a lot of hustle out of people, because I tell people all the time, people that didn't know that they could bake a good cupcake now have a big cupcake company. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Or somebody can fry chicken or do whatever they do or cook food. So much Jamaican, like,
yeah.
websites and so much social medias of food. I told my girlfriend the other day, I said, oh my God, I cannot go on Instagram without seeing food. Like, it's so
yeah.
much food. You know, you just, and people really can show the craftsmanship of their cooking skills. Like,
yeah.
And you can see how good the food, because you know, and we were stinging, so we know good rice and peas. We know
right,
good
right.
stew chicken. We know good escabeche fish and all the good stuff that West Indian people cook. Yo, it just, I can't go on there and see. But yesterday, y'all saw something different that I've never saw before. And I said, that's a good bit. That's a good business. I saw these two new girls doing over motels. And that made me thought, I said, yo, that's a good business. I need to get into that. Here I go telling people my business again on this thing. But anyway, I really, really think I'm going to get into, like, buying motels, because there's a lot of, and I've been seeing them. Yo, you know the funny
yeah.
thing? Because I've been driving so much during COVID, and I'm talking about interstate, out of state. When I tell you, you know, driving to Florida, driving to anywhere far, you know, you see a lot of different buildings. And I kept seeing a lot of, like, motels broken down. I kept saying, that's, you know, like, okay. I didn't even think about it till I saw the show last night. These chicks,
right.
two chicks are flipping. They just bought a motel and a restaurant. And they did it. And it wasn't even expensive. Like, most of the DUI shows that I watched, they flipped it so nice, so very contemporary, and was just very inexpensive. And it was very
right.
affordable. And now these chicks got motels. I'm like, yo, Cap, that's a hustle. I would love to get into that. Buying up some motels and refurbishing them, that's different. You understand what I'm saying? I like different stuff like that. Like the bridges, I like different things, because when I be talking to people on social media or people in general, like having a conversation, they'd be like, Jackie, you're so laid back. You're not. I said, I'm not impressed. You know, I'm not impressed easily because I've been there and done that. I said, show me people that are doing things that I've never seen before. I've never done it before. You know what I mean? That's motivation to me. Like, I'd be like really just looking at everybody and happy for people doing things, but it doesn't move me to say, oh, I want to do that. You understand me?
Right. I understand totally, right.
Okay.
I understand totally. But it's all about networking. It's who you're around. Because it's so many different avenues out there, but sometimes we're still around the same old crowd talking the same old shit.
Oh, that's not me, baby. That's not me. I'm a rat. I'm very versatile. I can't mess with the same old people talking about the same old shit. I've been spurted off and left them way in the gutter. Like, you know, I tell people, I'm sorry. I am 1 trillion and a gazillion and great. And I'm sorry. A lot of people that I fuck with are 1 second and late. You understand me? It's just straight because I always find myself every decade, I have to kind of like sit for a minute for people to catch up. Then people are hitting me. They'd be like, yo, oh my God, Jackie, yo, you the oracle for real. You told me about this way before, because before anything, I was always an internet gangster. I was always on the internet. I loved the internet. Like, that was a whole world for me 25, 30 years ago when I was just introduced to a Mac, before the big Apple, big ugly Macs. I was always a Macintosh type of girl. I was never really a PC chick. I was always enthused with this nigga Steve Jobs. Like, I just loved the way his mind was working. I love what they was doing. And I was like, everything for me, it was a Mac. And when I tell you, yo, the wealth of information that I used to learn just being on the internet, like, it was crazy. Finding out all the social media platforms before they was even previewed, before they were even launched. I was like 10 years ahead of knowing. Like, if anybody ever really look into my social media background and look when I was on these things, you're talking about 2001. You know what I'm saying? I just been on these things because I know that they were going to be the new way of doing things. And when I used to tell people about some of my clients, they'd be like, oh, no, I don't want to do it because it's too evasive. I said, excuse me, but you're selling something.
Right.
You want people to know what you're selling. Oh, no, it's too in my business. I said, it's not your business. It's the business that you want people to know about. I said, excuse me. I said, don't you know when Super Bowl come, the biggest sports in history, everybody fights for that slot to get a commercial space because they notice this one time that, like COVID, everybody is glued to their television to watch Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so you know you have to watch to see what commercials are coming out. Like, that's what social media is now.
Right.
To be able to put your own brand out there to sell yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, it had to take COVID for a lot of people to ding-da-ding to get it.
Media, because I had to make a lot of changes, mental changes. Because you know from where we're coming from, I never used to take pictures. I don't like to be seen being on video.
Right.
But you know, to get different, you got to do different.
Exactly.
So you know, just had to open up my mindset also, and start doing the correct things to do.
And that's all it took. Like I said the other day, I post Shine's thing, and I said, you know, people want to change the world, but they don't know the biggest changes is with oneself.
Yes.
That's it. You know what I mean? Once you change yourself, that's it. Everything else is a go. Because, you know, I look at everything that we've been through in our life as a lesson and a learning experience. And that's why a lot of my girlfriends, they're very bougie. They're like, well, you're the bougiest queen of all. I'd be like, but I'm a bougie gangster. I never forget where I come from. You understand me? And I open up my door and I engage with people. I show people love. I love to see the new generation coming up and what they're doing. I want to expose it. I want people to see it. I'm not going to hide it and shit on nobody because I might not be doing what they... No, that's not what you do. You know, the end of the day is this for me, Kat. It's like, life is not about nothing that we have, nothing that we did, nothing that we're going to do. It's all about the people that we have helped in this planet. That's all it's all about. all those people that's going to stand up and say something good about you, that's what's going to count.
Yes.
That's it. You can't take none of this other materialistic garbage with you. It's cool. It's to me, I look like all of the stuff that I had in my life, it's a part of a game. You know what I mean? It's a swag. It's to make you look a certain way and fit in to get to certain things. It's not nothing for you to kill nobody over. It's for nothing for you to be jealous about. It's an opening. It's just a way for you to maneuver, to show. Because money is only an expression of what's in your head when you buy stuff. You're showing people what's in your mind. That's it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that's true. Because, yeah, that's a different way of putting it. Because, as they say, money always brings out who you are. It enhances you.
Yes.
So if you're selfish and mean, that's what you're going to be when you have money. If you're nice and kind, that's a good person, that's what's going to come out.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, people just need to chill out. Like, I always say, when I look at everything in the world, I say to myself, damn, man, why is everybody so freaking mad? Like, why is everybody so angry? You know what I mean? Like, when you look at the angry people, like, you got to ask yourself, why is everybody so angry? Some people might say it about me sometimes, because sometimes I get into my Dick Gregory at the end, because I saw Dick Gregory going off when he was older. Like, everything was, fuck you, dumb. I was like, wow. But you really got to understand, like, for what reasons do you get so angry for? Like, why? What makes you so angry? Why are you so mad? And I think a lot of people, honestly and truly, need therapy. Everybody needs someone to talk to. And I have this saying, everybody needs a caddy. You know what I mean? I have to tell my 12-year-old grandson, I said, do you know what a caddy is? And he said, no. I said, you know the person that holds all the golf sticks, them and all that stuff? That's a caddy. Everybody needs somebody to hold their balls for a minute. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're not no homo shit, but, you know, just hold up for a minute. Let me carry this for you. You know what I'm saying? How can I help you? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I used to listen to Born every Sunday. I would just get, you know, finish cooking, sit down, have my little pad and my stuff, and just listen to him. And I used to be saying to myself, okay, I said, oh my God, this shit is amazing. Like, who would ever think he wouldn't even be here? I can't even fathom this in my mind.
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah. Still heartbroken over that,
I tell you, man, oh my God, it's good to know that we have met such great, I will call them our time warriors in our lives.
Right.
You know, because that's how I consider a lot of my good friends, you know what I mean? Queens, kings, you know what I mean? You know, just straight up and down warriors, like people that been through so much and you don't even know. You just hear about them. You don't even know their real stories. Like, just for instance, even with Shines, you say a lot of people don't even know, like, how far we go back. And, you know, I went to court every day. Like, I was with this kid every day. Like, even when he was a little kid, he used to come to my house every day, harass me for me to listen to him rap. And I'd be like, oh, boy, get out of here. You guys tell stories. You're not rapping about nothing. And one day I'm sitting in front of my car, in my range in my building, and he jumped in my car. And he was like, oh, Miss Jackie, listen to me. I just want to break this down for you. And I listened to him, and I was like, it's all right. He ain't talking about nothing. And I said, come here, let me tell you, because he got upset. You know, he's very, very arrogant. You know, he's like, man. I said, listen, let me tell you something. I said, you have a story? He said, what you talking about? I said, do you have a story? Do you think you have a story? Because in order to sell and tell good music, you have to have a story. I said, how do you think some of these people became so famous? I said, Marvin Gaye sang through his pain. Aretha Franklin sang through shit. All these people sing about things that they went through in their life. And it's a story. And he said, huh? I said, yeah. I said, well, you got a good story. Come back and spit me some shit. Boy, I think it was a month later, this nigga jumped back in my car. He said, whoa, wait, Miss Jackie, hold on. I was pulling off. He got in the back. I said, all right, hurry up. You got 5 minutes. This nigga spit some shit. Like, I said, whoa. I said, now that's better. That's an 8. Another kid ran out the car telling him, he's like, yo, she said I'm an 8. She said I'm an 8. He was so happy. He had so much confidence because, you know, I had to let him get it together. I mean, you spitting 16 bars, nigga, you better spit me the hardest shit in the fucking world. You get what I'm saying? Because that's how hard I used to be in the music game. But
So that part of his life is done?
I think so.
Oh.
But I you heard me. I said, I think so. But anything is possible because Shines came here as a diplomat, and at the bottom of his damn teeth, he had all diamond things all at the bottom.
Like that. Yeah, yeah.
He was gangster still.
I don't know him personally, but yo, just his whole thing, I like from back in the days, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's my baby.
Between me and you, when I see him the other day, I was like, yo, boy, Shine should have just run off when he come here.
Nah.
That's the first thought crossed my mind, because, yo, a whole part of his life, I just went blank, I guess, with the trouble that he got into.
I mean, but he had to find himself. He had to find himself. I mean, remember, he was a Hasidic Jew. You know what I mean? When we were walking around here, the Jews then passed by. He said, you know, whether he's the little Jewish thing. And then they said to him, the Messiah was coming. I said to them, the Messiah is here. You know what I'm saying? But he has accumulated a lot of, in very valuable information and historical history. That's why we was talking about books. When I tell you, Kat is so good to read. It's so good to read and know. And now on television, you don't even got to read, because on YouTube, they have people actually, because they have audiobooks, but now they have people actually telling you the stories. Now, I like this part of the game now on YouTube. They have girls and guys telling you the history on certain things, because now people are doing their own due diligence and they're reading. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. So now you find like I was blown away. And I'm still blown up. I'm trying to figure out how to start blowing Dick Gregory up, because a lot of people need to know about this man.
Yes, I heard the story. I started to watch it, and I think they have something with him on Netflix, but I didn't get to finish it.
Yo, when you finish watching that on Netflix, you're going to call me back and let me you're gonna let me know. You're going to be like, I understand. I get it, Jackie. Because this man, yo, I thought it was Dr. Sebi that started this whole holistic eating stuff. It really, and honestly, it was Dick Gregory. And this other lady was this, like, an African lady that when he was on his fast, she taught him the food to eat. You know what I mean? And that's how he came up with the Bohemian diet. The only thing he didn't do was he didn't, of course, a lot of us don't really know, he mismanaged his fortune, because Dick Gregory was always rich. He was telling white people about themselves as a joke. And he became so rich. He was getting $5,000 to $10,000 a show. He was going to all the whole...